Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. Between 2 and 3, we've got, I think it's John coming in from Crank Up to tell us all about the big event that's coming up there next month. Between 1 and 2, it was to be Sydney McLeish, but unfortunately she's been called away up to the bushfire, or what was the bushfire area. So we won't have Cindy. We'll just see what we can do between now and then. But first of all, between now and 1 o'clock, it's my pleasure to talk to a lady we've spoken to once before, actually, and that's Tanya. Tanya's the manager of foster care recruitment and development for Victoria for the MacKillop Family Service. And now that's a big title. But first of all, welcome, Tanya.
Oh, thanks, Alan. Thanks for having us back.
No, not a problem. It's great to have you back. Tanya, before we get talking about foster care, and we're going to be talking about foster care and the need is getting bigger and bigger for foster carers. I'm pretty sure of that. You're going to tell us that. But one of the things I just want to make or strengthen to the listeners is that these children that are in foster care, they're not there because they've misbehaved. They're not there because they've been through the courts. If they've been through the courts or whatever, the reason they're there is because they're either not safe or their natural parents can't look after them. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's 100% correct, Alan. So it is really about these children need safe environments. They're not safe, as you just said, where they currently are. And they just need a period of time in the foster care system with really supportive foster care as well. You know, mum and dad or family can get the supports in place that they need.
Yeah, I've had one or two people, so because I've done a couple of interviews on this and saying, oh, well, you know, it's the kids are problem kids, but they're not problem children. They may bring with them a few problems because of the fact that where they've come out of, but they aren't in trouble themselves. In fact, they are really the innocent victim of the whole situation, aren't they?
Yeah, these children, they've all experienced trauma in some way, shape or form, Alan, and kids come into the foster care system. And, you know, when we're talking about kids, we're talking about newborns. Sometimes we have children straight from hospital. Yeah, all the way up to the age of 18. And they come into care for whatever reason it is, but they have experienced trauma, and things have been going on that are unsafe in their family life. You know, I was looking at some data the other day, Alan, and I reckon your listeners will be really interested in this. 96% of our children in foster care at MacKillop are engaged in school.
Tell me that again. 96%?
96% of our kids that are in our foster care program at the minute with MacKillop are going to school. They're engaged in the school setting, isn't
it? They may not have in their own setting, might they?
Yeah, that's right. And missing from school is a big indicator for why we get notified that children might need to come into the foster care system. But to be able to have these children settled enough that they're attending school and they're going to school and they're consistent, it's a fantastic outcome. Yeah.
That's true. Tanya, I just want to back up. So how do you get these young people? Like, do they come through the courts? Are they social workers? How does MacKillop Family Services actually get these young people?
Yeah, all of our children have come through the child protective system. So it could be we have children who come in on an emergency basis, Alan. So it could be that there might have been an incident, the police were called, child protection were called, and these children just need a safe space until child protection can find either further family or ascertain whether the environment is safe, you know, talk to mum and dad, whatever needs to happen. So there is that emergency placement, and then there is longer term options that we might need for these children. So all times they've come through child protection, courts are involved. These children do come in on court orders. Child protection holds guardianship for these children, so that's how they come through our system. Child protection's been involved and then they come through to us.
So would I be right in assuming that some of these, when they're coming in emergency situations, some of these could come in late in the afternoon or early evening or during the night, couldn't they?
Oh, many times we've had foster carers who are on our emergency call response team, they will get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, yep, we've just found some children here. We need a space for them tonight. They just need a bath. They need something to eat and they need a warm bed, and we'll be back at 8 o'clock in the morning to pick them up. So it can be really, really immediate, just like that. Or it could be that something has happened in the middle of the day and, you know, we need a foster carer to go and pick them up from school and just hold them until Child Protection might find some other options for them.
And I guess when some of those young people, we'll talk sort of late in the afternoon and we're talking 1 and 2 in the morning, I guess when the police go in like that, they don't hang around and get a whole lot of stuff, do they? They just go in and get the child out of the situation.
Yeah, I think foster care kids seem to have this stigma, Alan, and we've done a lot of work to pull that stigma away. You know, you see the young child carrying around a plastic bag full of their belongings. You're 100% correct. These kids do usually come with nothing, and especially in an emergency situation, it could be the clothes are on their back and that's all that comes with them. So foster carers are really prepared for that. They know that. They're aware of what is going to happen and they have supplies and resources there available ready for these kids to come in.
And I guess because we are part of, well, not part of, one of the major reasons why we're doing this interview is because you do need more foster carers. So, and as we get closer to 1 o'clock, I'll ask people to have their paper and pencil ready and Tanya will tell you some contact details where you can find more about it. But I guess you're not only looking for people who want to volunteer to take a child long term, possibly you're also looking for people who could fill out an emergency where they get called and they get a child, might only be for a night or two. So are you looking for volunteers for that as well?
We are. And I think, Alan, that's one of the big things to talk about, and we can go into it further, is that foster care is so diverse. It's a question I get asked a lot is, you know, do we need to do this long term? Do I have the, I'm not sure if I can take a child long term, or I'm not sure if I could take them for more than a year. Foster care can be really suited to suit your lifestyle, your family's lifestyle, where you are and in your life. And it can be that emergency overnight, which works really well. I know we have a lot of professionals, so nurses and social workers and whatnot, police officers, that works really well for them because they know their roster and they know when they can be available overnight. Yeah. And then we have people who offer weekend respite. We call it respite, but weekend care. And that's really planned and it's great, especially for families and retired couples. They really like that because they know in advance when the children are going to come and stay with them for the weekend. They might pick them up from school on a Friday afternoon and then, you know, drop them back to school on a Monday. They build a beautiful relationship with these kids and they become part of an extended network, really, a family. And then you've got your short-term and long-term carers, and short-term can be anything from 2 weeks, really, to longer-term, which is for whatever time that child needs. We've had kids that have come in for 2 weeks and they've stayed 2 years, but, you know, at all times it's around what the foster carer can offer. And I think that's why we always need more foster carers, Alan, is because we can't burden our foster carers and we really appreciate what they can and can't offer. And when we find more foster carer families and people within local community, it means we can keep our kids in community so they can stay at school. So even if they do need to go to a different foster carer home for whatever reason, they can stay at school. And that's that one consistency that we try and put in place.
They've got to have something constant. I've got to take a break, Tanya, and we'll be back to talk to Tanya, but please have your paper and pencil ready at about 5 to 1 and Tanya will tell you all about how you can get involved. But we've still got a lot more to talk about.
We'll be right back.
talking to Tanya from MacKillop Family Services. We're talking all about foster care. Tanya, just before we get started, in the next bracket, because I've got to take a break again a bit later, one of the community service announcements or the community service announcement I've got up is snap the stigma, because some people do seem to blame the young children, don't they?
Yeah, well, we often hear, Alan, that these are the naughty kids. You know, they're the naughty kids of the community. It couldn't be far from the truth. These kids just need some support and some consistency and predictability and safety, really. They're not naughty. They've been impacted by trauma. And, kids do have behaviours because of that, but they need nurturing and support and love from their foster carers to support them through this time.
Absolutely. All right, so we just need to get that out of the way, because I have had people say to me, you know, in the past when I've done these, that these interviews that, these kids aren't, it's their fault, but it's not. Mm. Now, the other thing is too, and I know you're going to depress me when you tell me this, but I would love for you to tell me now that the need for foster carers are going down, but I'll guarantee you're going to tell me it's got on the upward surge.
Yeah, unfortunately, Alan, it is. It is on the upward surge, and there's many different reasons for that. I think, I don't think we're ever going to find the magic wand for enough foster carers, because there is more and more pressures on community and families and these kids, you know, and we're not talking about individual kids either, Alan. Sometimes we're talking about sibling groups of two and three children, and the best thing to do is to keep them together if we can. But no, we are always looking for more foster carers. And I think that the other side of it too is it's not always about the emerging need, but it's around, you know, what's happening for foster carers at the time too. Potentially they're retiring. I know we've got a lot of our older carers who, you know, their time's up now. They've done amazing, you know, 20 years fostering children. And we, to try and replace these golden gems of foster carers with brand new foster carers is a really big task, you know, all of that lived experience. But, you know, bringing them as mentors for our newer foster carers coming through is a really big focus for MacKillop to keep that in. So, yes, it is always about finding more foster carers.
But it's a bit of a firestorm though, isn't it? Because while at the same time you've got all these, I'll call them golden oldies, that are moving out the system, so you need to replace them, but I'll bet the amount of children that are coming in care are on the rise as well.
Yeah, it's always interesting, Alan. It never changes. So the number of children, I think, you know, the number of children over the last couple of years, it's kind of stayed pretty stagnant.
Have they?
And what we tend to see is we see children who, and this is what, you know, we're really trying to work towards this. We see children who are being placed out of region because we can't find enough of their local foster carers in the local area. It's so bad. And, you know, you think about them wanting to see their family. They could have to travel 2 hours each way to see their family once a week. And that interrupts their, you know, stability and going to school and whatnot.
But I would have thought, sorry, I don't want to cut across
you. No, you're right.
But I would have thought the fact that school might have been their only sort of constant. And if you've got to take them away from that, then that impacts even further on the child, doesn't it?
It does, 100% it does. And for some of these times, that's the only time that can be organised for these children to go and visit. So, foster carers support that wholeheartedly. I was going to say with these golden oldies, I can think of so many stories around, you know, children turn 18 and they technically exit the system. But these children don't just leave the foster carers' homes. A lot of these children have become part of these foster carer families and extended families, and they've created this beautiful support network around these children, now adults. So they've really, they've done such incredible work over the caring over the last 20-odd years,
That's terrific. All right, so what... I mean, a lot of people listening now, and I know you touched on it before, will think, oh, I can't take on a child 24 hours a day, seven days a week, for maybe a few years. But from what you were glossed or probably glossed over a little bit, is that now there's all sorts of opportunities, isn't there? It's not a case of you've got to take a child and you've got them for 2, 3, 4 years or whatever. You mentioned could be weekends, could be just during the day to relieve the proper, well, not the proper, but the full-time foster carer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the beauty about finding out more and attending an information session, and we'll talk about how people can go to an information session. Find out how foster care can suit with your lifestyle. I think if you've got a genuine motivation to care for children and to provide that care, and Alan, lots of people do, they do, you know, they think one day I will be a foster carer, but there's something holding them back. I think now is the time to find out more information. It doesn't mean you're going to be a foster carer in the next 6 months. Yep. It might mean you still need to think about it, but find out how that can suit in with you, because at the end of the day, it's providing support for these children at the time in which they need it. And that never changes. There's always children that need this support. So I think if people in the community can really think about what is foster care, what impact can I make, what support can I give? Tanya's here from MacKillop telling me that I can do just a weekend. Great, I can do that. So how do I do that? And I think when you come to these information sessions, you get to hear it directly from a foster carer. So you get to ask those questions directly to the foster carer, which I think really helps people, Alan, in their consideration process.
Yep. So, I mean, the point I was trying to make is that a person sitting there today who thinks, oh, I could maybe do that, but I can't take it year in, year out, or even week in or week out. There is the opportunity for them to just say, look, I can take them away from the normal carer to let the carer have a weekend, and I can take them for a weekend, can't you?
Absolutely. One night, one weekend, 1 week, 1 year. You can provide foster care.
Yeah. I remember my parents had some agreement with, I don't know what organisation it was, and we used to go and pick up a child on a Sunday morning, and we'd go off on a picnic as a family, mum and dad and my sister and I, with this girl, and, you know, we'd give her a day out, and then mum and dad would take her back at night, because they didn't have the opportunity or the ability to look after somebody else as well, 24/7.
Yeah, but the support was obviously there. And I think, Alan, this is the beauty of foster care, is that you can tailor it to suit you and also support the child, and as well as support the other foster carers in the system at the same time.
Sounds good. I've got to take a quick break, Tanya, and we'll be back with more. talking to Tanya from McKillop Family Services, and we're especially talking about needing volunteers for foster care. And Tanya is the manager of foster care recruitment and development. So you can't do better than talk to the person who knows all about it. Tanya, qualifications, what sort of qualifications would you require? Now, obviously, they've got to be able to pass a working with children or a police check. I mean, if they can't pass that, you don't want them. But apart from that, I mean, are there any restrictions on they have to be married, de factos, whatever?
No, and again, Alan, this is the beauty of foster care. So foster care is so diverse. Anybody can be a foster carer. You're 100% right. There is a process. So when people inquire about being a foster carer, you go through this process. It can take up to 3 to 6 months to become accredited to be a foster carer. During those early stages, we think those safety checks are really important that you mentioned. But then when we talk about qualifications, we don't expect foster carers to come in that have experience. We love foster carers who have had experience caring for children before, and that could be through their occupation or as a parent themselves. But if they don't have that, it doesn't matter, because we have some really great training that we do. And then we go through an assessment process where, again, we find out a lot about the people who are wanting to be foster carers. They find out about us. They do need to meet a competency-based assessment, but we walk you through that the entire way.
Tanya, now we haven't actually got down quite as far as I was hoping to go. The other thing is too, I did mention about being married couples and that, but is there an opportunity for a single person maybe just doing emergency or doing weekends?
Yes. You've got to be 21 years old to be a foster carer, and then there's no limit on that, Alan. So we actually just accredited a 75-year-old in one of our programs, and he's doing great work with respite care, so weekend care with some of our kids. So it's really it's amazing. So it's really about does foster care fit in with me? Can I do it? Can I meet these competencies? So there's no age restrictions. And yes, single, married, divorced, de facto, retired, it doesn't matter. If you have that motivation to be a foster carer, we're going to take you on that journey.
Because what I'm thinking about here, I mean, obviously at this time of day, there are probably older couples that are listening, or older people, and a lot of those, their children have moved on and they're sort of living in big homes by themselves. I mean, even if they don't want to take on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, there's still quite an opportunity for you to have them, isn't there?
Respite care is amazing for that age group, Alan. And, you know, as I just mentioned, our 75-year-old newest carer, this is what is working and was decided for him, is around that respite care. So he knows he's going to have these kids on the weekend, and he plans for that, and it's working really well.
And it's probably good for him too.
It's great for him. He feels alive. We were talking to I was talking to this other couple at Midsummer, and they said the same thing. They said, oh, if we do it, the kids will keep us active and alive. I said, 100% they'll keep you active and alive.
Tanya, I've got to take one quick break, but then I want to come back and ask you a specific question. So we'll be back in about over 2 minutes.
just a circus. You'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
Now, Tanya, you've spoken a couple of times, and just briefly on it, the information session. So let's just take it back a bit. So whoever it is gets hold of you today on the website and says, yes, I'm interested. So what's the process from there on, please, Tanya?
Yeah, so they can then come to one of the information sessions, Alan, and it's about an hour. And it's online, or a staff member can come into the person's home and have an information session with them that, in the home.
They don't have to come, right? Yep.
Yeah, so either. And it's about finding out the basics around foster care. So a lot of what we've talked about today, but a little bit more in depth. And then from there, you then do all of the paperwork. It sounds daunting. It's not. You're really supported by we call them the care recruitment worker within MacKillop. And you get to know this person, you build a relationship with this staff member, and then that's when you then move into training, Alan. It's usually 2 days of training. And then we move into the assessment interviews. So 4 or 5 assessment interviews, the assessor will come, which is usually the care recruitment worker, will come out into your home and do those assessments with you. And we talk about lots of things. So we'll talk about, you know, experiences you've had parenting, looking after children who have got different needs. We do safety checks. So we'll also check the home and environment. And then from there, Alan, you could be accredited as a foster carer or not.
Yep. All right. So during that information session, though, what are they looking for the person to find out what they can add to the system or whether what the system is?
Yeah, it is more about that. So it's talking about, you know, what does foster care really look like? What supports are in place for a foster carer? A little bit about MacKillop, a little bit about why these children come into foster care and what's happening for them and for their families, what foster carers need to be able to support these children that are with them, and a lot more around the foster care process. So we can talk about, you know, the child protection system and whatnot. So it's really that deep dive into foster care. But when we step into the space where we're coming into their home, Alan, it's that consideration point for people. You need to have all of the information. You need to feel really educated about this so you can make a decision.
Now, you did mention before about, you know, sometimes they're only there for a short time, sometimes they're a long time. When I guess you're going to tell me this is like a piece of string, how long is a piece of string? But when you get a child, do you know that you've got that child for 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, or is it sort of a month by month because the courts may order them back, or I'm just not sure how that happens.
Yeah. So that's a really big consideration point at the point of a child going into your care. So we receive a notification that there's a child who needs some support. We get information around that child, and it's usually around the initial time that they need care. And that conversation.
Can I just ask you that? Who decides that, Tanya? Does the court, or who decides that? How long?
The courts and child protection decide that. And then that conversation is had with the foster carer before a placement is even made, before that child comes into your care. Now, you'll have carers that laugh at me, Alan. They laugh all the time because the initial phone call is, oh, yeah, they're coming for a night and they've stayed for 3 weeks. and they do. They laugh all the time because they know that this is what happens. It's not a perfect system, and always it's around what that child needs. But when we're talking about respite, that is really clear cut, Alan. It's pick the child up on Friday and drop them back at school on Monday. So that is really clear. Yeah.
When they do that, I don't want to know too much about the mechanics, but schools are very particular. So how does that happen? Does MacKillop get involved with the school and say, well, now on a Friday, this person's going to pick them up and they're going to have them till Monday?
Yeah, we've got case managers in our program, and they do. They work really closely with the schools.
Yeah, because I can imagine some schools saying, hey, if it's not Fred Nurk, well, we don't want anybody else to pick the child up. But
wow, and I'm glad they do that.
Oh, yeah. So am I. All right, Tanya, this is our last break. We're going to come back. We're going to expand on a bit more, and you're going to have all the contact details for these nice people out there that we would like to see as foster carers.
Perfect.
Coming back soon.
Let's go. Got old house, little fixer up, pair of boots that will hand me downs, ball tires and a little rust still gets me into town. The grass might be greener and they might be ripe, I bet the beer's just as cold on both sides. And if you're asking me, I'm a lucky one. Got a good life, I'm doing all right. A lot of love waiting for me back home. I got a job that's paying the house off. A couple of kids to keep me on my toes. And it might not seem like us or something, but I tell you now, it's all that I want. I wouldn't trade this life even if I could. Cause I got it good. Fishing boat, still can't seem to reel them in. There's a new joint on the main road,
that's right,
still ordering the same thing. Cause everyone's looking for shined up and new, but I'm gonna stick to my roots. Cause I got a good life, I'm doing alright. A lot of love waiting for me back home. I got a job that's paying the house off, couple of kids to keep me on my toes. And it might not seem like us to some, but I got a good life, man. I love my wife and my two boys in the house that we call home. We call home. And it might not seem like us to some, but I tell you now, it's all that I want. So I wouldn't trade this life even if I could. Cause I got it good.
Just before we go, and I should mention, I did interview Tanya a couple of years ago on a show I used to do called Choice Tune. So if you go onto our website, www.yarravalleyfm.org.au, on the left-hand side, there's a black thing down there. Go down to and white writing, podcast, hit that. Go up to the next one where it says Choice Tunes and go down there a couple of years and you'll find all about Tanya's life and her choice of the music that was part of her life. So you can find out a bit more about Tanya herself. But anyway, Tanya, let's tell people now how they can get involved. Give them a sales pitch as to why they should get involved and tell them how to move it along, please.
Oh, I just think, Alan, having worked with these kids for, you know, over 10 years, there's so many stories we can share. But I think if you've got a genuine motivation to care for kids and be involved in their lives and make even small impact to kids who really need it, they really need it. I think you should think about foster care. I would encourage anyone to head to an information session. So to do that, head to our website, which is mckillop.org.au.
Is that all one word?
mckillop.org.au.
Oh, yeah, right. It hasn't got it. It's not family service, just mckillop.
No, just mckillop, yeah. And then on the website, you head to the tab that says Become a Foster Carer. Now, you can register for the information session, or you can actually make an inquiry, which means Leanne will give you a call and have a chat more about foster care.
Sounds good to me. Do you have a Facebook page too?
We do. We have Facebook and Instagram, and we've also got the number, Alan. I might read that out for people if they want it. So it's 1-300-791-677.
That's 1-300-791-672.
677.
Oh, 677. Oh, I can't read my own writing.
And when people ring, they're going to get Leanne on the other end of the phone, and Leanne will have a great yarn with you about foster care and what the next steps are and what it means to make an inquiry. So people have got lots of options here. But we're also at Knox Festival this weekend, Alan, if anyone's around.
Give it a push.
Yeah. Well, we've got a stall there at Knox Festival. This is about our third year attending, and we love it. So we're there all day at Wally Tree Reserve in Fern Tree Gully. So if anyone wants to come down, I'm going to be there. If anybody wants to come down and have a chat face-to-face about foster care, do so.
Well, it's a great opportunity. So that's Knox Festival this Saturday or Sunday?
No, it's Saturday, on the 28th. And we're there until 5 o'clock. So come on down and have a chat.
Gee, that sounds terrific. Great opportunity for people to come and see it. So, look, again, we've got a few minutes before the 1 o'clock news. Tanya has given you all the options. You don't have to take these children. I shouldn't phrase it like that. You don't have to sign up for something that's ongoing. You can sign up for respite care. You can sign up for weekend work, can't you? You can sign up even just to be in a... Tanya, what is there a difference between the person you were talking about where they get the call at 2 in the morning and ask to take a child? Do they do different training than... what I'm trying to get at, is it one training that once they've done it, they can do anything, or do they have to do other bits of training as well?
No, well, we always offer ongoing training and we encourage carers to do it. But no, the process is the same, Alan. What it is, though, is that when we're working in there directly with you and we're doing that assessment, we will find out what the best fit is. And it comes down to ages as well. So you can choose, you know, I want to look after the younger kids or I want to look after the older kids. So we get to really understand that when we start doing the assessment.
Yep, because I can understand... maybe the older ones don't know, and this is probably being judgmental, which I shouldn't be, may not want to take a newborn. As you said, you get a few newborns. I mean, that may not be what they can cope with.
Yeah, well, you know, the person that we just accredited, the 75-year-old, he's looking after teenagers because they're more independent and that fits in best for him rather than the newborns. So, it really is about your lifestyle and where you're at, your experiences. I think what we're trying to say, Alan, is that foster care is so flexible and it can suit most people. It's just about finding out what that is for you. Yep. Yeah.
And I guess... some of these children, well, I'm only guessing, so you're going to tell me, some of these children would almost bond with their foster carers for life. Like, even though they hit 18 and then they go off, do you hear stories where they, you know, the foster carer gets invited to their wedding and all stuff like that?
Yes, we had that actually a couple of years ago. So we had, it's actually a great story. We had two siblings were in foster care. They unfortunately had to go to different homes. Right. And this respite carer, though, every second weekend she had them together. So they got to spend the weekend together. Right. Now, these kids are 25 and they still have contact with this carer, and they have just recently been to her wedding. Yes. Yeah, she got remarried, and the kids came. We're in all the family photos. They're on the wall. Oh, Alan, there's so many stories of how these kids are integrated into these wider families. It's beautiful.
And let's be brutally frank here. Their futures are pretty grim if there aren't foster carers out there prepared to help them, aren't they?
These foster carers just provide a childhood and so many opportunities, Alan, yes, and so much more. I heard that ad by Create, you know, that because of my foster carer, I've now been able to go to uni.
Yep.
There's so many. We cannot discount what stability and predictability and just love can do for a child.
It can create
so many opportunities.
That's the basis of a family, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And of someone feeling safe.
Yeah, I was going to say the basis of a good family is that the children feel safe and they're supported to do, well, I was going to say whatever they want, but maybe a bit too wide.
but they're able to explore their options, and I think that's what it's all about. You know, we have incredible children in our world to be able to explore their own lives, and these children are no different, and they get to have connection with their family in whatever way that is, but they also get these other opportunities that the foster carers bring in, and that's what providing a really thorough childhood experience for these children is all about. Foster carers do that, Alan.
And let's be honest, every child should have that right.
Yeah, every child, no matter what has happened, every child.
Yeah, I mean, they should not be denied that future just because of something that's happened in their in their past. Which, again, I'm really keen to put over is that these children there's nothing that they've done wrong. They haven't been taken for their family because they've been acting up or anything. It's just purely and simply that something in the family has gone wrong, doesn't it? And the family can't cope with them.
It just means that they're not safe, and they're not safe in the environment that they're in, and we need to get them to a really safe environment. And while supports can be in there for their family as well, it's about that holistic looking after everybody together, and that's what the best interests for the children are.
Absolutely, and they shouldn't be denied that future.
Yep.
Tanya, look, it's great having spoken to you again. I always would love one day when I contact you and you say, "Oh, sorry, Alan, we don't need foster carers," but unfortunately, I can't see that happening in the near future. So, first of all, people, give us the website again, please.
Yep, so it's MacKillop, MacKillop.org.au.
And the phone number
is 1300 791 677.